Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks to Nick Handsome for the update. Welcome in. It's a Football Friday. Grant Paulson, Danny Ruye, a Brendan Dar, Tom Daly production. We're with you on 106.7 The Fan until 2. And Chad Dukes versus the world getting you set for week 9 around the NFL. Redskins, Seahawks. We'll play a couple clips that stood out to us from our conversations yesterday with Mike Rizzo, the executive VP of baseball ops with the Nats, and the manager he just hired, Dave Martinez. At 11 o'clock, we'll get into what you thought about yesterday at Nationals Park and the hiring of Martinez. A lot on the slate today, Danny.
Yeah, and as we were getting ready to turn the old microphones on and speak into them, apparently Ezekiel Elliott is back in. That's now a thing. Remember, he was out? Another stay. This is an administrative stay from some circuit, and oh my God, I hate this. There's very little that I now get more blindingly irritated by than the, oh, this court ruling is definitive. I ultimately want to know from somebody that's very smart, and then everyone has to listen to that person, and we can only parrot that really smart person. Is this over? I want a smart person to tell me that this is over. What is the end result going to be? Picked up Alfred Morris in five different leagues, trying to just get through a bye week, man. Just trying to get through a bye week with a pedestrian running back in a stupid fantasy league, trying to start him in stupid daily fantasy. I drafted him on my draft app. I just want closure on this stupid thing. I no longer care about anything else other than tell me how this is going to end. These administrative stays and these injunctions against your stays, and I'll stay your injunction. This whole thing sucks. The NFL needs to fix this. It's the most important thing because it's so off-putting. Back to you.
Yeah, it is off-putting, and it seems like every year we get another one of these. This is the grand finale. This is the Super Bowl, though.
It's the best one ever.
Normally, he's either going to be suspended or he's not, and then the next year he serves his four-game suspension, Tom Brady style. This is suspension on, suspension off, suspension on, suspension off. It's, you know, like some scene in Little Rascals where Alfalfa's plucking at a flower to find out if Darla loves him or not. I don't understand what's happening. I'm not going to pretend to. Here is what we could tell you this morning based on this stay. He is going to play this weekend, and according to all the reports I'm seeing, this is basically a one-week reprieve for him where we will get another announcement, very likely that he's going to be suspended again after this game. But he had the option, essentially, of getting this one final stay, if in fact he was granted it, that could let him play at least one more game. And then likely a suspension will start next week. I'm done trying to guess at this point.
I'd like it to be over.
Whatever I'm sure this is good for the league, by the way. As I keep saying, Roger Goodell and your team, what are you thinking? How is this productive in any way? Either you should have found enough to suspend him initially, or you shouldn't have let this linger to the point where it's now November. I'm starting to plan out my Thanksgiving Day. And I still don't know if Ezekiel Elliott is going to be serving a suspension or not this season.
I don't necessarily blame the NFLPA here. They're trying to do right by their guy. I don't blame the NFL. They're trying to stick to the punishment they set up. I just need fewer NFL matters to go to the courts.
Well, you got to blame somebody, right? Because the NFL has made the choice to let this linger for as long as they have. They have made the choice to make this a story that was larger maybe than the original story. And if he did wrong, he should be suspended. But if you can't prove that he was suspended in a way that doesn't lead to this many weeks and now months of back and forth, I don't know how it's beneficial to your product.
Well, it's definitely not. But I guess my point is I understand both perspectives. Again, if I'm working for the NFLPA this morning, I'm going, nice. I want to prevent my guy from getting jobs.
I get why they're doing what they're doing.
I get why the NFL does what they do, by the way.
I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze for them.
Well, that's where I'm at. But here's what I need. I need no NFL thing to be in a courtroom ever again. Figure that part out. Sit down, all the smart people, Demaurice Smith, George Atala, Roger Goodell, and whatever billionaire owner's pulling his strings and operating the Goodelltron 4000 bot. Next time you guys get together, sit down in a room and say, okay, we understand something. This sucks. No one likes it. This is terrible. We changed the extra point to try to make it more exciting. We're into making things more exciting. You know what's not exciting? Court cases. Let's get rid of these billable hours of millions of dollars to these high, swanky firms. No more court cases. We'll have a panel of arbiters three dudes from Nebraska who are all overweight, spitting tobacco on the ground. They'll hear you guys talk for 2 minutes each. Whatever they rule is gospel.
Do they have to be overweight?
They have to be overweight.
How heavy do you think?
I'm talking bad. I'm talking swiping right on AWOD kind of obese.
350?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I want. I just want three Cornhuskin fat sons of guns to rule on everything instead of this crap.
Why
I want definitive results.
Have that fat guy from Last Chance U in the bar be one of the guys who's hearing it. Remember the guy?
Yeah, he's going to clean him up. That's what he's going to do. He's going to come in and clean him up.
Let him be one of the guys who hears the case.
Speaking of Last Chance U, Vlad Dukas, who was Last Chance U star, started at right guard last night.
He did.
In the National Football League.
Let's get to that game as we get you started on this Football Friday. So the Ezekiel Elliott news this morning is the biggest of the day. We'll get into Sean Watson from yesterday in a second. Last night's game, though. How about the Jets?
Man.
34-21 winners. Buffalo's not that good. Let's start with that. The Bills had a decent record. I don't know if it's every time I watch them they're terrible, or if they're just actually pretty terrible. But in watching a bunch of that game last night, Tyrod Taylor was running for his life. They couldn't protect for him.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up 6 attempts, 35 yards, throwing for 285 and 2 touchdowns. That, by the way, if you want to call me normally on a Monday and say, Kirk Cousins got garbage time stats, the Redskins don't play in games with garbage time. This past week, people say, well, Kirk Cousins got a garbage time touchdown. They had the ball in a one-possession game with a minute left. There was no garbage time in that game, people. What Tyrod Taylor did last night, that's garbage time.
That is garbaggio.
So next time you call in and you tell me how good he is and how good Cousins isn't, remember that, if you would. The Bills are 5-3. They're on pace to go 10-6. They're fraudulent, though, as we kind of found out, I think, last night.
That wasn't a good outing for them.
It was not, and they've had a few of those now this season. It was good to see our buddy Lorenzo Alexander flying around, making the second highest tackle total on the team. But the Jets are the story here. Josh McCown, as he does every week, gave them a chance, didn't turn the ball over, was running their offense effectively. Matt Forte turned the clocks back about 8 years, rushed for 77 yards and 2 touchdowns. They were able to run the ball enough to stay balanced. They were able to make a couple plays through the air, and their defense was ferocious. With 5 sacks, including 2 sacks from Jordan Jenkins, their outside linebacker, and Muhammad Wilkerson even got on the stat sheet again with a sack. I liked what I saw from the Jets. If you took the over-under of 3.5 wins this season in Vegas, you are now a loser because they are 4-5 already. They were supposed to have picked first, according to a lot of the experts.
Yeah, a lot of people that know what they're talking about, I guess, didn't with the Jets. I mean, that is the story of how competitive they've been. Their losses have been all by less than a touchdown, I think, of late. I think it's their last 3 losses were by a touchdown or less. They've been in games. Credit to Todd Bowles and a lot of folks. A lot of people thought they just were kind of punting as they were trading away some of their pieces, letting guys go. Name that McCown, 38-year-old gimpy scramble machine, as their starting quarterback. They were impressive last night. They were almost as impressive as Buffalo was bad. LeSean McCoy, 25 yards on the ground. That's just, you don't see that. He's usually good for, in a game like this, buck 20, 4 or 5 catches for another 40 yards, a touchdown, whatever it was. They just couldn't get anything going, Buffalo could, until late in that ballgame. And Buffalo's defense, which has been the story of this season, shoving it on people. In Atlanta, they were really good. Holding Denver to nothing, starting their downward spiral. They have been pretty darn good throughout this season. Wretched last night. Couldn't stop anybody. Couldn't tackle.
That was such a big loss for Buffalo. You want to talk about an immense setback. A colossal opportunity blown. They had a chance with a win to be 6-2 tied with New England for first place. Now, forget that they're tied with the Patriots for first, because I think we all know as the weather gets colder, the Patriots will distance themselves from the rest of the pack. That's just what they do. But if you're 6-2, you can't accidentally get to 6-2 generally. Like Jim Zorn's Redskins did once. We saw that. Hadn't happened here since then, by the way. That was 2008. It's really hard to be 6-2 through 8 games. The Buffalo Bills, in losing that game, they're still very much in the thick of things in the AFC chase. But if you sort the standings out this morning by conference, at 6-2, they would have been tied for the best record in the AFC with the Steelers, the Chiefs, and the Patriots. Now at 5-3, pending action this weekend, you could be even with Buffalo, and Miami, and Jacksonville, and Tennessee, only a game better than Baltimore. You took a major step back toward everybody else last night when you had a fortuitous matchup on the schedule.
Yeah, golden opportunity.
Beatable team in the Jets. that was just a squandered chance. And that's what the mediocre teams do, by the way. If you're actually really good, you beat the Jets last night, you're 6-2 today, and you're on your way to 10 or 11 wins. This is the longest playoff drought, Danny, in football. You know when they last made the playoffs?
Was it Music City Miracle
that
year?
It was 1999.
Wow.
The Music City Miracle game, Wycheck and Dyson, that is the last playoff game the Bills have played in. They have not been back since. And last night, they could have taken a major step toward making sure this year is the year they end the drought, and they couldn't do it.
Could have finished your first half, basically, 6-2, and stumbled your way into the playoffs. I mean, the AFC picture at the top, we know who's who. A couple 6-2 teams. Everybody else is muddled. Nobody's any good. Nobody's any good. The AFC West is a huge disappointment. You look at that AFC South, somebody technically has to win it. Who in there scares you? You had a great chance to kind of Cadillac your way. You could have been, you know, 3-5 down the stretch and made the playoffs. Now, everybody's a little bit closer to you. You had a golden opportunity, laid an egg against the Jets. That's bad.
If I had to kind of rank the AFC at this point, I'd put New England 1, Pittsburgh 2, Kansas City 3. Perhaps I'd flip the Chiefs and the Steelers, but that's kind of the list. The Bills could have easily, though, been the next team to jump on the bronze medal
platform. Number 4 team.
They would have been right there in the conversation, top 5, closing in on the top 3, and last night's loss was bad enough that it ends that dialogue. Speaking of bad, Deshaun Watson, yesterday, early morning, is named the player of the month offensively in the NFL, in the AFC. In the afternoon, at practice, he tears his ACL.
Ugh.
This wasn't just devastating for the Texans. This was sad for the league. We'll get into that next, and how this relates to Colin Kaepernick, because not surprisingly, his name is coming up, and there is a surprising development on that front. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.